Let me help you get your money's worth today. You've been so inspired. I think the hymns really helped us this morning, the testimonies of the kids. Let me bring you just a little bit more as you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. Now, Luke chapter 3 takes us a little backwards from where you might think we're going to go in the future. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to look at later in January. But when I was looking at Luke chapter 3, and I say backwards because it's still, just right at Jesus' birth and ministry. And so we think of Luke, and we know that Luke was a very precise historian and writer. And you see that first in his account. He first tells us about John the Baptist being born, and then he tells us about Jesus being born. And then he tells us about John the Baptist's ministry, and then he tells us about Jesus' ministry. And so he weaves them together really nicely like that, so we can get a handle on what happened to bring Jesus into his ministry years. And so I want to just talk to you just briefly from Luke chapter 3 this morning, and to share with you what I think will be a good way for us to think about how to start a new year. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but you're certainly welcome to. I hope that each one of us want to experience Jesus more in 2024. Boy, that sounds like a slogan, right? More in 24. But I would hope that that would be our... So I want to give you what I think is a biblical way to start that process in 2024. And it comes from Luke chapter 3. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod the Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonius, and Lysanias was the Tetrarch of Albaline. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Let me pause there just a moment. I just want to give you a little setting here. I love the way Luke writes these things because it helps us see that John, we call him John the Baptist, or John the son of Zechariah, was a real person in real time at a specific time. And so Luke dates John's coming into his ministry years at a particular time by talking about Tiberius Caesar, by talking about Pontius Pilate, by talking about who was in political power and who was the religious figure at the time. So I think it would be kind of like us saying, you know, dating 2024 by saying it was the last year of President Biden. I just thought I had to say that. Okay. Or it was the 10th year of Pope Francis. Or it was the year Taylor Swift became a football fan, okay? So I'm just saying that if we look at the Bible in real time, right? This is how he was doing. He was dating it. And verse 3 goes on. He, that is John the Baptist, went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Let me pause there and let you see. Because sometimes we have questions about this baptism that John was preaching. How could John preach a baptism of repentance when Jesus still hadn't clearly defined what it meant to confess your sins, maybe, and to believe in him? So I want you to know that John's baptism wasn't really out of order. It was actually in line with Old Testament practices. The Old Testament gives us a lot of reasons why we need to wash, right? If you go back to the Old Testament, Leviticus, and things like that, you'll see that we need to wash when something is impure around us, or we've touched a dead body, or we've committed a sin, or we've become, there's been a problem in our life. And so I want to show you a picture of basically what we could simply call an Old Testament baptistry, or a mikvah. I don't know if you can tell from there, but this is the doorway you would enter in, and steps you would walk down into the ceremonial washing pool and back. And so these were common things. And if any of you are watching the Chosen episode, and any of you get to the last one where the wife of Peter goes to a mikvah, if you want, that's what she's doing. She has a purpose for which she feels she's following the law to ritually wash and purify herself. So John the Baptist is not really way out there when he says you need to be baptized. There were baptistries called mikvahs and so on. Now, I do think that he was unique in two ways when he talked about baptism. And one is this idea of repentance. He's really stressing this, which maybe it hadn't been stressed quite as much before. Before it was stressed ceremonial cleansing, but he's stressing repentance. And then the other way, which I really want you to hear today, is that he's talking about preparation. So there's repentance and there's preparation. Preparation for what? Preparation for the Messiah coming. Preparation for Jesus. Now, here in 2024, we're not preparing for his first coming. We are preparing for his second coming. But I really want you to be more thinking more of like, how can I prepare the way to experience Jesus more in 24? That's the setting. In verse 4 it says, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked road shall become straight, the rough ways smooth. All the people will see God's salvation. And so John was the fulfillment of this passage in Isaiah. He was the voice. He was the one in the wilderness. And it was his message that was to say, prepare for the Lord's coming. So we continue with that. In verse 7, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers. Now that's not a really positive way to address your congregation, but that was the way he did it. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And that's what I would like you to underline, to make notes. This is the point of preparing the way. Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God could raise children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I think what John is saying is that there is more than just going into the water and being ritualistically pure. That's good, that's obeying the law, but more so, you go in one way and you come out a different way. Actually, mikvahs, many of them had two sets of stairs. So that in your mind, you know that you're going in needing washed, and you come out this side because you know you're washed. And that is a perfect picture of repentance. John says, when you're baptized, don't just go into the water and just think that's it. But come out of the water a different person. That's what repentance is. If you're going to do this thing called baptism, John says, there better be a change. A baptized person goes in one way, comes out another. That's repentance, changing direction, changing behavior, aligning with God's ways, and preparing for Jesus. According to the chapter before, in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, it said that John was to go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah and turn. That's repentance. And turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to wisdom. Turn. That's repentance. The wisdom of the righteous. And here's the phrase, to make ready a people prepared to the Lord. How do you prepare for the Lord? You turn to him. That's repentance. John the Baptist was called to get people ready for the first coming of Jesus. And I remember as these young people were talking, and I remember being called. Mine wasn't at a conference, although I went to many through the 80s. And then in the 90s, I was privileged as a college person. I was in a singing group, and I got to sing on a stage in front of thousands of people. You talk about nervous. I got to do that. That was a long time ago. The Lord works in mysterious ways. That would have never happened in my own strength. But I remember being called at a camp meeting. And I remember soon after that calling, I came across this verse right here, and this was the verse that God gave me as a minister to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. To go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn hearts of parents to children and disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I'm not going to speak much longer, but listen to my voice today. Listen to this message. And if you want to make room for Jesus in your life, not a prosperity gospel preacher, but I believe God wants to bless you. If you want to experience His blessing, if you want to taste and see that the Lord is good, if you want to experience His presence, the key right here today is repent. You say, well, I'm already a Christian. That's not what I'm talking about. You can turn many times in better ways, in better directions, and tweak it here and work out your salvation. Turn from what you were doing. If you did not grow in the Lord as much as you wanted in 23, then tweak it. Change it. Do something radical. At the very least, stop the sin, which is selfish, and start serving. Sin is of the world. If you want to be like Christ, you start serving. Jesus said, I came to serve. So, what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, it's interesting that we have some examples here. And so we go back to John the Baptist at the side of the Jordan River in Luke chapter 3, verse 10. And so the crowd say, after they're admonished to do something different, the crowd say, well, what should we do then? And verse 11 says, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Let's just go with the principle here. If you, as a crowd, this goes to all of us today. The crowd say, what should we do? And John says, be generous. Be generous. Practice generosity in 2024 if you want to experience the presence of Jesus. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 25, verse 40. And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters, you did for me. You want to experience Jesus? Help somebody. Help a least. Help someone who needs assistance. Go to them. You can do it in all sorts of different ways. But if you want to experience more of Jesus in 24, be generous. Verse 12, even the tax collectors came to be baptized. Isn't that amazing? Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what should we do? And he says, don't collect any more than you're required to do. You know, I wish he would have said, stop collecting taxes. That would have been a better answer. But I love what we heard at Follow. It's like, God can use anyone, anywhere, any vocation. And he didn't tell them to stop collecting taxes. That was part of the system. But what he did say is stop collecting taxes wrongly. Stop taking more than you should. And it seems to me the application here is that if you are in any kind of financial power, if you have influence over anyone's finances, whether you own your business or whether you are a supervisor, the principle here is to be fair, be honest. If you want to experience more of Jesus in 24, live like he did, fair and honest. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 2, Jesus said, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You want to experience more of Jesus? Then be more like Jesus. The more you're like Jesus, the more you'll feel his presence. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, he said, so in everything you do, do to others what you would have them do to you. Verse 14 goes on. And some of the soldiers asked him, what should we do? That meant soldiers, probably Roman soldiers actually, were coming to be baptized. What should we do? And he replied, Don't extort money, and don't accuse people falsely, and be content with your pay. Now, I trust people. I trust mechanics. I trust doctors. I trust police officers. But what he's talking about is people in power, political positions, corrupt, those who have become corrupt. And we hear stories of these type of people, but we can actually be one of them. Especially down in Honduras, the police will collude with drug cartels and take money from private citizens. And once again, though, notice John didn't say, quit your job. He said, do your job with integrity. Whatever it is, if you want to experience Jesus in 24, then make the path clear. Stop putting obstacles in there. Verse 15. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, and whose straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. We don't think of John being a good news preacher. But he was. He wasn't maybe always smooth about it or always, you know, trying to appease people. But he knew the good news could change them. And so let me just take this word from the English here, where it says, many words John exhorted the people. There's an X in there. And in John's definition, that meant, stop doing those things that might hinder you experience the coming of the Messiah. That was sounded bad, but it actually results in good news. Good news. Stop doing the bad things so that you can experience the good one. Clear the path so that Jesus can bless you. John was called by God, filled with the Spirit, and he desired and offered repentance to all, including Herod. Didn't go over as well, but it shows me that John had a heart for all people. Another observation we see is that John baptized in line with Old Testament connection between being washed and experiencing God's presence. And John also preached in line with the Old Testament connecting baptism to repentance. And John's preaching and his baptism had a purpose, and that was to get people ready for the coming of the Messiah. The author of Luke says that John was the foretold about in Isaiah. We've already read it, but let's look at it again. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight paths for him. This is a poetic explanation of what we are to do and what John was doing. Every valley should be filled in. If there's some low spot in your life, fill it in so the path Jesus can get to you easier. If there's a mountain, there's something in the way, an obstruction, bring it down low. If there's a crooked road, make it straight. If there's a rough spot, make it smooth. And all people will see God's salvation. John believed he was the fulfillment of Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. John was saying, make the path straight. Clear the way so that you can experience the Lord. I love John chapter 10, verse 41. This also kind of came with my calling, because I'm here to prepare the way for the Lord, but I don't think I'll ever perform a miracle. But John, they said of John, though he never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true. If John said it, then I believe it. There are things that we can do to make the way clearer to experience more of Jesus. John was telling the truth. He wasn't lying to get more followers, likes, thumbs up, or heart emojis, or whatever you get. He was telling the truth because the only way to God is through repentance. It's the idea of making straight paths and clearing the path. So what do you need to do? Isn't that the question? If John the Baptist was here and he was having a little baptism service, and before you got into the water, or maybe after you exited the water, you would ask him, what do I need to do? I'm certain he would have an answer. Probably you know the answer. Now you might be saying, now there's nothing that can stop Jesus from getting to me if he wants to. Were you thinking that? Now you are. You're saying obstacles can keep Jesus from me? No, not really. I'm not really saying that. God, he can get to you through anything. But repentance shows that you want him. Very rarely does Jesus force his way into your life, but he always comes when invited. Clearing the path is like inviting him. It's not works righteousness. You're still saved by faith. It's still grace that gets you to heaven. But if you want to experience more of Jesus, put out the welcome mat. You know? Make it easy. Invite him. There's usually something we must do to make room. Jesus said it this way, you can't serve two masters. Something must go so that Jesus can be first. Now, you don't need to get clean to be baptized. That's not what we're talking about. Are you a bit like the person, they hired a house cleaner, and about an hour before the house cleaner comes, you go through the house and clean the house? That's really not what I'm talking about. Only he can forgive your sins. Only he can get you to heaven, right? But there's some things that we can do to experience the Lord. Clear the path so Jesus can come into your life. What is it in your life that if John the Baptist were here, he would exhort you to do? Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you, Lord, for the good news that is ever expanding possibilities in our life. And we can be Christian people today who know you, but there's so much more to know. Christian people who have experienced you, but so much more to experience. Christian people who have served you, but so much more that we can do. So Lord, as your people, may we examine our lives today. Repent of those things. Remove them, we pray, so that we can experience more of you. What a blessing is in store for us as we seek your presence in the days ahead. Even now, Lord, as we confess those things, bring them back to our minds, so that as through the year ahead, your Holy Spirit can remind us that we committed to that today. At the time of hearing it, it may not sound like good news, but when we experience your presence in a better way, what a joy, what a privilege, what a peace that we will have. And that's good news. We thank you that you will go with us as we go from here. In your name we pray. Amen.